Networking and Health Information Exchange, Unit 5A, Health Data Interchange Standards. The exchange of data among previously unconnected heterogeneous sites is a requirement for ubiquitous interoperability. This unit discusses a number of standards that may be used to exchange clinical data in various forms. The specific goals are: understand linking and aggregating data at all levels. Understand how data may be interchanged among heterogeneous settings without loss of information. Understand HL7 V2.x messaging communication standards. Understand HL7 V3.0 messaging standards. Understand other data interchange standards, including DICOM for imaging standards, IEEE for device interface standards, and IHE for profiles and registry standards. This first subunit will focus on Health Level 7's V2.N messaging standard. Persons may see many different doctors in different places for a variety of reasons. In many cases, the person is likely to be taking medications prescribed by more than one doctor. Clearly, it is desirable to be able to aggregate this data. Further, multiple uses of the data requires the exchange of data. For many reasons, the sender and receiver of data may not be predictable or known in advance. In this case, a data interchange standard is a necessity. Similar to any communication, the data exchange will include physical things, such as persons, lab tests, medications, appointments, diagnoses, etc. Nouns that are the subject of the interchange. Next are the relationship between nouns, such as a doctor ordering a lab test for a patient, or the results of a lab test, or an admission of a patient encounter. The language of communication included in the message is most critical. The data model and the terminology is used to define the nouns and phrases. These terms must be generally understandable in order for the exchange messages to be understood and used. There are several choices for the exchange of data. The most commonly used data interchange or messaging standard used in the U.S. today is a Health Level 7 messaging standard known as version 2.N, where N is the current version. Many versions are in use today, but current standard specified by meaningful use criteria is version 2.5 or 2.5.1. The latest version from HL7 is version 2.8. All version 2 standards are backwards compatible, so basically newer versions add functionality to the standard. We will discuss the V2.N standard in detail in this subunit. Data may be exchanged as a document, where the content of the document is defined by a schema. A common document exchange standard is the HL7 Clinical Data Architecture, which we explored in Unit 4. A constrained version of the CDA, defined to accommodate the exchange of summary clinical data, is a continuity of care document, basically an implementation manual based on the CDA. ASTM has produced a similar standard called the Continuity of Care Record, which can also be used to exchange a patient summary record. The contents of the CCD and the CCR are similar and both use XML syntax. For the exchange of images or other media such as waveforms, use the DICOM standard. ASCX12 produces a family of standards to support the claims/reimbursements data exchange. NCPDP has a set of standards that support the exchange of prescription data for e-prescribing as well as for reimbursement of medication products. Since it is likely that you will be using the HL7 V2.N standard in your healthcare environment, it will be presented in detail in this unit. The popularity of V2.N is that it is easy to use and understand and easy to implement. The standard is based on an implicit information model. The messages are defined to support certain data elements that are defined through the experience of the designer for a particular event. This standard was initially created to support building a hospital information system from components from different multiple vendors. This approach has been referred to as best of breed, but it actually supports the actual approach of most settings in buying whatever systems they like and connecting them together. Without a standard, the required interfaces between systems would be cost prohibited. This cost is reduced by several orders of magnitude through the use of standards. Messages in version 2.N are organized around events, and the messages are divided into subsets that convey information about the event, the patient, the encounter, the act, results, and other functions. V 2.n messages make no attempt to define process. Further, as the standard evolved, additional data elements were added to their appropriate components in sequence as the need for that data element was discovered. The simplicity of V2.n messages is its popularity. Within a single enterprise or an environment in which sender and receiver are known, business agreements, including what data elements will be exchanged, what terminologies will be used, and when the data will be exchanged, a tightly coupled environment, works very well. Today, most exchanges fit this specification, even at large geographical areas. However, as we expand data exchange across boundaries, nationally or even globally, these agreements are not in place, and a messaging standard based on an implicit model must be used to achieve interoperability. Hence, V3 standard to be discussed in the next subunit. The original V2.n standard specified what data elements were to be exchanged by defining the position of that data element in a specific message component, and the data elements were separated by delimiters. The data exchange structure is hierarchical with repeating segments accommodated. Delimiters were chosen to reduce the number of characters necessary to be transmitted, since at the time of the creation of the standard, available bandwidth was very limited. The result of the delimiter syntax is that the overhead of a V2.m message is about 5%. To take advantage of XML tools, version 2 has been modified to accept an XML syntax. This construct will be discussed in a later slide. When and what data is exchanged is defined by a trigger event, such as patient admission, patient discharge, patient transferred, lab test order, lab result reporting, etc. Clinical data is sent by the name of the data element and the result of value of the test, so-called name-value pairs. HL7 messages are composed of reusable components called segments. Each segment is identified by a three-letter mnemonic. Segments are content-oriented, that is, focused on such things as the patient, the visit, the act or event, or activity or the thing. Which segments are used in a message depends on the message type. The message type is associated with a trigger event. Fields may be repeating. For example, if more than one provider is identified, all may be included by using the repeating field construct. A segment is made up of data fields. We will learn more about this construction in the following slides. HL7 has not chosen a specific terminology, but maintains a registry of controlled vocabularies, and the terminology is expressed as a triplet: code, text name, and controlled vocabulary identity. For example, LOINC is represented by LN. SNOMED is represented by SM. As V2.n developed, the standard was unable to stay ahead of the user requirements. Consequently, provision was made for user-defined segments identified by the first letter Z in the mnemonic name. The good part of Z, or local segments, was that the user could send anything. The bad thing was that users never reverted from the Z segment to an actual HL7 standard segment when the standard caught up with the requirements. So, messages are hierarchical, starting with the message composed of segments. The segments, in turn, were composed of data fields, which in turn were composed of components and further subdivided into subcomponents. This construct was delimited by a defined set of delimiters. The data fields were separated by the filter bar. Components were separated by the caret, or up arrow, and subcomponents by the ampersand. The squiggly bar was used as the repetition separator. The backslash indicated that an escape character followed, which would be an ASCII code. This permits sending special characters, such as bold or italics or tabs, etc. Every segment must be terminated by carriage return. Segments are limited by length, as are data fields. All messages must start with a header, much like the addressing of an envelope in regular mail. The header segment tells the sender and receiver the date and time, a unique message identifier, the message type, and the trigger event, and the version of HL7 V2.n being used. This graphic illustrates the basic HL7 transaction model. Some trigger event occurs and activates the sending of a specific message type to one or more receivers. In many cases, the message is sent to an interface engine which knows the set of receivers to receive the message and sends the message to each of them. The example shown here is the admission of a patient, and we want to notify the lab of the admission along with data about the patient and the admission so they can start a record for the patient in the lab system. An ADMIT message, ADT, is triggered by the trigger event, A01, and sent through the network to the lab system. The lab system acknowledges the receipt of the ADT message by sending an acknowledge ACK message to the sender. This acknowledgement is simply a communications receipt and not an indication that the lab will fulfill the request. That acknowledgement is a separate acknowledgement that says message received and understood and would be carried out. Summarizing, the trigger event is A01, the message type is ADT, and the message includes data about the patient. The PID or patient identification segment and the patient visit segment, PV1. Additional segments may be included. For example, an omitting lab order could be included or other information could be included. This slide shows the composition of the message header segment, MSH. Note that the delimiters are included as part of the segment in a specified order. In an attempt to provide total freedom, HL7 permitted the definition of the delimiters. In practice, all uses of HL7 v2.n use the standard set of delimiters. The other components are the sending unit and sending place, the receiving unit and receiving place, the date time following the date time data type field, YYYYDDMMHRMN. Next, a password is included, then the message type and trigger event as a component, the message number, the P indicating a production message in contrast to a test message, and finally indication this is version 2.7. The carriage return terminates the message. Note the use of the filter bar to separate the data fields and the up arrow to separate the components. This segment is the patient identification segment, starting with the segment identifier PID. The patient identifier is the first data field with additional components of a check digit, 5, and the method for calculating the check digit, module 11. The second field is for an external identifier, the third field is for an internal identifier, and the fourth field is for an alternate identifier. None of these fields are used, so each data field is made null. The delimiters must be included to keep the positioning of the data fields in the correct order. Next is the data field patient name. The patient name is expressed by four components: last name, first name, middle name, and suffix. The standard also allows for a prefix component, but it is not used in this example. Note that the delimiter is not required since it is not necessary to retain the sequence of fields. What would you do if the patient had two middle names? In this case, sender and receiver would need to reach an agreement as to how that would be accommodated. In most cases, the middle name is assumed to mean all other names. Is the last name the family name or surname? Depends on nationality or country of the individual. These issues have been resolved through the use of data types. The PID segment continues with mother's maiden name. Date of birth using the date, time, data type, gender, patient alias, which is null, race, and the address data field. This slide includes the first component in that field, street address. Finally, the last part of the PID segment continues with components city, state, and zip. County is next, followed by the telephone number, whose format is also defined by a data type. Finally, the carriage return terminator ends the segment. The PID segment has many additional fields and even accommodates animals. You will need to obtain a copy of the HL7 v2.n standard to see the complete definitions. In using the standard, a simple way is to create a matrix which maps the HL7 data fields to your own database. Next is the patient visit segment, PV1. There is also an additional segment to extend data about the encounter called PV2. The data field following the segment identifier is known as a sequence number and permits the contents of this segment to be sent as multiple lines, but no carriage return. These lines are numbered in sequence, 1, 2, 3, etc. Next is a coded patient class followed by patient location, ward and room, followed by mission type, null, admission number, null. Position 6 is prior patient location, and data field 7 is the attending doctor field. Broken down into components, provider code, last name, first name, and middle initial. The next field is referring MD, null, followed by the service of the attending. The segment is terminated with the carriage return. Again, many additional fields as well as a second segment provide the opportunity to include a large amount of data about the visit. By now, you should begin to understand the V2 messaging standard, how easy it is to use by just filling in the blanks. On the receiving end, you pick up the pieces you want and put them into your own database. The next few slides shows some other segments to give you an idea of how the messages and data exchange work. In this case, we see the Observation Request segment, OBR. Its contents include the placer order number and the filler order number, so either can trace the message. There is a universal service ID, which includes the components of ID, text name, and L for local terminology, the triplet previously mentioned. Priority data field is null, followed by date time of the request. Next are a series of data fields that are null. Other data fields include reason for the study and the principal and assistant results interpreter. Again, a summary slide that shows a typical order result message. In this case, the segments include the header, the patient identifier, the order request, and two result segments. The OBS segment is examined in detail in the next slide. The last OBX shows the hierarchical nature of the segment. The test ID data field is broken into triplet of code with check digit, text name, and vocabulary source, LOINC. OBX is the most flexible segment and can be used to send almost any data. With this segment supported by other segments, the entire contents of a medical record can be sent. The third data field is for data type, in this case numeric, so the results can be properly interpreted. Again, the test name is a triplet of code, name, and vocabulary source. The numeric data value is in position 5 and the units are specified in position 6. So the interpretation is 38 degrees centigrade. The F in position 11 indicates that it is a final result. Also note the name value pair construct. Other data fields include date of observation, identity of provider making the observation, normal ranges, and abnormal flag. It is indeed a powerful segment. Message can include any number of these segments. This OBX segment shows a data type of coded. In this case, the test name is specified from LOINC, and the result is a coded value from SNO Med. This test is for blood group, and the value is group O, a SNOMED code of F-D1250. This message shows a typical V2.4 message. Note the new segment types of next of kin, NK1, and the use of the sequence number 1, 2, and 3. This message continues on the next slide. Here we see some additional segments, including PV1 and PV2, DRG, DG1, Guarantor, GT1, and Insurance, IN. The richness of this standard can be appreciated. This message shows the use of the XML delimiter. In contrast with V3.0 messages, which have XML tags that identify the data elements, these tags only identify the segment and position in the V2.N segment. This method does permit the use of XML tools to display and process the messages. This slide shows functional areas covered by V2, ATD, registration, orders, results, patient financial, query language, immunization reporting, clinical trials, adverse drug reactions, scheduling, referrals, medical records, patient care, problem lists and goals, waveforms, personal management, clinical lab automation transition, master files. HL7 V2.N messages are used in over 90% of the hospitals in the U.S. Different places use different versions, but they are backwards compatible. You should now feel comfortable if you were asked to create an HL7 V2 message. Of course, you would need to obtain a copy of the standard to see all the segments and data fields. Clearly, if sender and receiver are in communication, V2 gets the job done.